turn the Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, I notice in verse 15, Ephesians 1, 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, I want to talk to you about the church, which is his body. Now, I'm doing this in preparation for going into the study on the book of Colossians. As I do this, I want to do it to bear out the fact that there is only one church in the Bible that is called the church, which is his body. If I were to contrast this with any other church at that time, it would be as in Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 7, there would be a reference to the church which was in the wilderness that Moses led. Then there would be a reference to the church which was at Jerusalem, and comparing them with Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, the writer refers to the fact that he's writing to the holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and he refers to two groups there, two houses. One is the house of Moses, one is the house of Christ. Well, the church which is at Jerusalem, then, is the house of Christ of Hebrews chapter 3. Now, it is never called the church which is his body. It is not called the body of Christ. And there's no places in the scripture that any local church that is affiliated with that was begun by Peter, James, John, or any of those men, that is referred to as the church which is his body. The church which is his body is a reference to the church which began with the preaching of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And that's what I want to deal with. I want to bear out the fact that there is one church. This one church all has, everybody in it, has the same hope, and so forth. Notice in your Bible in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Well, then there is only one body, and somebody will say there was only one body at that time. But that's not the case. The emphasis is not upon at that time. The emphasis is to write. Paul is writing unto some people that he heard about their faith in the Lord Jesus. And he's going to show them something pertaining to the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ, so that the eyes of their revelation might be enlightened, that they might know the hope of God's calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When he said there is one body, he's writing to this group of people that he'd never seen. This group of people had been saved after Paul left Ephesus. Paul is at Rome. He's writing the letter from Rome. I'm not sure the date of the letter, and I don't really care about the date of the letter. The point is, there is just one body. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, and notice verse 25. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Go back to Romans chapter 12. And notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we, as persons, I could add there, as human beings, have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Essentially, the same thing of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, we being members, being many, are one body in Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, 25, every one of us are members one of another. Then look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I'm fascinated at the fact that there are men today that have picked up the phrase down through the years. I believe the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it. I've observed the fact that over the years, generally, we pick up phrases that we hear other people use, and we begin to use those phrases. And so people say, well, anybody that believes the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, so forth and so on. Well, I know some people today that make that proclamation. They say, I believe the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it. And yet those people do not believe that the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 is the same body of Ephesians chapter 4. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one, that's the human body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Now look in verse 27. And now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. It doesn't frighten me in the least, it doesn't bother me in the least, that at that time he refers to the gifts. Those gifts were given for build up the body and so forth. But that doesn't bother me in the least. I believe there is one body. That body is started through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. That body is started by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And that body continues throughout the dispensation of grace. I believe there is a day when that body is going to come to its fullness. And it's called the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I also believe that when Jesus Christ left glory, when he came down, that he did away with with something that he had there. He, as it were, emptied himself of something. And now that the building up is the putting together of the body of Christ. In other words, the church, which is the body, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In other words, he came and died on Calvary for the church, which is the body of Christ. He paid for all our sins on Calvary, and God forgave the sins of every member of the church, which is the body of Christ, when Jesus Christ died. And therefore, all the members of the church, which is the body of Christ, as they are called, as they hear the gospel of Christ, they are called into unity by one gospel. That gospel is what brings the unity of the members in the body. Go back to to Philippians and look in Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now there's a fascinating thing about this. The fascinating thing is that the church at Philippi is begun in Acts chapter 16, and the first members of this church are women. time that they are baptized, as in Acts chapter 16. And of course, there is a terrible struggle by some of the dispensational brethren today to try to get away with baptism by renouncing the fact that the Philippians were at that time members of the church, which is the body of Christ. I find absolutely no reasoning for it. In other words, when Paul writes to the Philippians, he writes to the Philippians as if they already had doctrine that is there in the Ephesian letter. In fact of the business, he tells the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, please turn there, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, they couldn't work out anything that wasn't worked in. There is no implication in the book of Philippians that the doctrine of the book of Ephesians had been written to them before. The implication is that Paul had taught it unto them. He doesn't say anything about "as I have written before unto you" or any such thing as that. The implication is the Philippians knew that there is one gospel and that they knew there is one body, and that all the members of the body were to treat the other members exactly on the same basis, as if all of them were members of the same body, and that for them to walk worthy of their vocation, he says, "Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ," and that you walk in one accord, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That is the faith that is associated with that one gospel. I have absolutely no reason to believe that there ever was more than one church, which is the body of Christ, but the fact church, which is the body of Christ, began with the preaching of the Apostle Paul, and that it ends when the church, which is the body of Christ, comes to the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, the thing that I want to emphasize in these studies is that there is a division between the books that the Apostle Paul wrote. And so if I start on the left of the board over here, I'll put over here Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. And I'm going to just list them like that. And then I'm going to come over here and I'm going to put Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians on the right side of the board. Now, on this side of the board over here, I'm going to put underneath Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians like that, and I'm going to put foundation. In other words, the Romans, Corinthians, and Galatian letters are the foundation for the church, which is the body of Christ. But on this side over here, I'm going to put over here, underneath these, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, I'm going to put temple. Now, in teaching, I would never go to Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians to tell anybody how to get saved. Nor would I ever go to Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians to show anybody the oneness of the church, which is the body of Christ. I would go to Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians to show people how to get saved and show them how not to get saved. In other words, I would go to such book as Galatians to show them that they can't get saved by keeping the law. I would go to Romans and Corinthians to show them that they can get saved by believing the gospel. I would go to Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians to show them the unity of the church, which is the body of Christ, and that is built upon the one foundation. So that now, if I take all of this off, and I'm going to erase this off of the board now, and I'm going to rearrange it, so that I'm going to put up here Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, and I'm going to say that these are the foundation for the church, which is the body of Christ.
Then I'm going to draw up above this a building. This building up here represents the temple, and I'm going to put in there Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians.
In other words, the saints at Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae are founded or are based upon, in other words, their salvation depends upon the gospel that is written out and explained in Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. Say, but wait a minute, how about Thessalonians?
I would put the Thessalonian letters up here, and I'd put over there the hope of this church, which is the body of Christ,
its destiny, how it's going to get out of here, and so forth and so on. Now, I know there'll be some people that'll pick my words, and that's great. I don't mind that at all. And so I understand that I'm going to stumble and stammer around, and I'm going to use words that you wouldn't have used had you been doing this. But the difference is that you're not the one that is doing this. I'm the one that's doing it. And God Almighty called me several years ago, understanding when he called me, that I might use words that are a mistake in themselves. In other words, you might say, well, he used the word destiny there, and you can really find the destiny in the book of Ephesians and on and on. Well, I'm not arguing with you about that. I'm just trying to do something in general here without splitting hairs. I'm trying to do the thing in a general sense so that there are those which are babes in Christ would be able to understand just as well as those that have been studying the Bible for 15 or 20 years. Now, this a foundation and whatever, I want to start with it. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and by the way, I might mention another thing to you, that there is in rightly dividing the word of truth. I have an arrangement wherein I lay out the books of the Bible. I never got it out of anybody's book. I was not taught it by Bullinger or Stamm or Dr. Ruckman or John R. Rice or Dr. DeHaan or Welch or Bullinger or Baker or any of these people. Say, well, you're boasting. No, I'm not boasting. God Almighty showed me the thing, the difference in that which is time past as of with now as that which is to come. And so I'm going to put up here, in other words, I'm going to put time past. In other words, time past would represent Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians. Time past. But now, in other words, Paul said, you in time past, writing to the Ephesians, were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Alright, in time past then, during the period of time when the Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians got saved, during that time, those Ephesians to whom Paul writes were without Christ due to the fact that they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So, if I were to divide them up then, I could put that Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians would match the time past having to do with Paul's ministry in the book of Acts. But now would have to do with Paul's ministry after he went into prison, even though there is a possibility it is during the two-year period of the last couple of verses of the book of Acts. Now, turn your Bible, please, and look in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The word master builder there is architecton. It's an architect. It is a chief builder. The Apostle Paul himself is the one that God gave the blueprint through. In other words, Paul laid the foundation, and through the epistles of Paul, we have the blueprint for the church, which is the body of Christ, and the Apostle Paul is like a foreman on the job. Now he said, I am a master builder. I have laid the foundation. Go back to chapter 1 and look in chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto you, unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? And on and on. So a person could take the passage and imply by the passage that Paul is saying, you're not to pay any more attention to what I tell you than you would to what Peter tells you or someone else. But that is not true. Paul is saying, I laid the foundation. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. In other words, it is very specific then that even though Paul says, I'm glad I baptized none of you, lest he should say, well, I baptized in my own name, and says, don't be followers of men, and he rebukes them for saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ, and on, and yet turns around and says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I'm saying unto you that as I check out the passages, I can't find where Paul makes any distinction pertaining to his ministry when he writes to those at Corinth or whether he writes to those at Ephesus. Paul laid the foundation and another builds on that foundation. Look in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal, walk as men? For a while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man, and on. Now, the point I'm making is the fact that even though Paul is saying unto those people, in effect, your salvation did not come through me. Your salvation didn't come through Peter. Your salvation didn't come through Apollos. Your salvation came through the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet he says, I laid the foundation on which you are to build. And he said, be ye followers of me. And I could add, as you build on that foundation, even as I also am of Christ, and that foundation is Christ. There can be no misunderstanding about that. Paul laid the foundation. Am I to believe that Paul just is talking about, I laid the foundation for the church which is at Corinth? No way. Paul is saying, I laid the foundation for the church which is the body of Christ. Now turn, please, to 2 Timothy and look at his prison epistle in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now observe that what he's discussing in this thing is that you must divide the word of truth. But if Timothy is to rightly divide the word of truth, what is he going to divide? Look back in verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, Timothy was with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 16 as Paul preached the gospel throughout Acts 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and no doubt Timothy had read the Roman and Corinthian letters. There can be no misunderstanding about this. The Apostle Paul's gospel emphasizes the resurrection of Christ that is different than the resurrection that Peter, James, and John talk about. And Paul's ministry, are you listening? Paul's ministry in Acts 13 through Acts 28, while he preached, emphasized a different resurrection than that resurrection that was preached by Peter in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and so forth. And if you haven't learned that yet, you have no business being a preacher or a teacher. Make no mistake about it. When Paul said rightly dividing the word of truth, Paul, in the context, is dealing with his gospel and his ministry, and he said, the things that thou hast heard of me, heard? Well, Timothy, when did you hear them? You heard them from Acts 16 through Acts 28. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Well, Timothy, did you hear the Apostle Paul tell those at Corinth and at Ephesus that the Lord was going to descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and that the dead in Christ were going to rise first, and that we that are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with him in clouds to meet the Lord in the air? Come on, Timothy, step forward. Did you hear that? Well, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, commit the same unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy, did you perchance hear Paul while he was at Ephesus? During the period of time he wrote the Corinthian letter? Did you perchance hear Paul tell those people that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump? For the trumpet shall sound, and on and on. Did you hear that, Timothy? Well then, Timothy, is that what you preach? Is that what you teach faithful men? How about you that are listening to my voice? What do you teach faithful men? What do you tell them? Do you tell them that the only thing that Paul committed unto Timothy to commit to faithful men was that of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians when it came to that pertaining to the rapture? What do you tell people pertaining to that? What do you tell people pertaining to the church, which is the body of Christ? Well, Timothy was instructed to commit to faithful men the things that he had heard among many other witnesses. But that isn't all. He said, preach that you heard pertaining to the resurrection of Christ. Preach that you heard in my gospel. And he said, rightly divide the word of truth. Not saying, divide off Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians and separate them out and say there was a hope for one church in there and a different hope has come later on. When did Paul write to Timothy and tell him about that? Well, some fellows say, well, Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Why don't you show me that in the Bible? Come on. Don't just sit there. Show me. Write to me. Send me a tape. Call me on the telephone. But show me that Timothy was the pastor of any church for that matter. I want to see it. I mean, you say, well, the Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it. Well, where does it say that Timothy pastored the church at Ephesus? Come on, tell me. He said, rightly dividing the word of truth. But that isn't all. Notice what else he said. He said in verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will ease up a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now hold the phone. I've got to make a choice. Now I've been told for the past 20 some odd years that you can find truth in the scripture by comparing scripture with scripture. Now that's what I'm told. Well, if I compare scripture with scripture, let's see about that. Go back in your Bible with me, please, to Matthew, and look in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, he saith unto them, But whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, now, I'm not too brilliant, I'm not too smart, but I take it for granted that the rock of verse 18 has something to do with a foundation. If the Lord is going to build the church upon something, he's going to build it upon something that is called a rock. If I compare that with other passages in this Bible, I find that he says that he gives an illustration. That one man built a house upon the sand, and that the winds blew and the sea came against it, and the house fell because the foundation was not solid. But another man built a house upon a rock, and the wind blew upon it, and so forth and so on, but it wouldn't fall because it was founded upon a rock. Well, I can put scripture together with scripture and come out with the fact that the rock of verse 18 is a foundation upon which a church is built. And I'd say that church is the church at Jerusalem due to the fact that Peter is given the keys and Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. I'd say that every individual that heard Peter preach and believed his message and believed that the one they had crucified is in fact the Christ, the Son of God, and surrendered to baptism, would have been built upon this rock and be a part of this church, which turns out to be the church at Jerusalem that the Hebrew writer, the man who wrote the book of Hebrews, is writing unto. In fact, that Peter, James, and so forth are writing unto. Now, my point is, there definitely is a foundation. There is a church and a foundation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And there is a church in Acts chapter 1 through, I'll say, 10. And that church is founded on a foundation and so forth. Now, turn please. Well, there's no need to turn. Paul said, I laid the foundation. When I read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, which foundation am I to believe it is? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Well, what foundation is it? Paul said, I laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. Am I to believe that Timothy thought that he was built upon a foundation that existed before Paul wrote the letter? Am I to believe that Timothy thought that there was another foundation that was laid after Paul said, I laid the foundation? Am I to believe that there is another gospel that Timothy is to preach to somebody that is the foundation for the church, which is the body of Christ, that is in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians? Folks, it gets absolutely silly when you think about it. Paul said, Timothy, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And he said, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I suffered trouble for it as an evildoer. And he said, study and show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, then I can take it for granted that the foundation of verse 19 is the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. It is the foundation upon which the church, which is the body of Christ, is built. Those Corinthians are built upon that foundation. They're called a body. And those Romans are built upon that foundation. And I don't see any reason to believe that the Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were built upon any other foundation. Well, then the Romans, Corinthians, and Galatians, and Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians were all built upon the same foundation. Why should I not believe then that they are not the same church, the body of Christ? They are the same. There is no difference. They're saved by the same gospel, and they have the same hope. Now, there is a church then that is the body of Christ. This body of Christ has a foundation underneath it. This foundation underneath this is solid, and it stands sure. Now, go back, please, to Romans, and look in Romans, chapter 16. In Romans, chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. What is it made known to all nations for the obedience of faith? It is something that is in the scriptures of the prophets. What is it in the scriptures of the prophets that is to be made manifest? It is something that is called a mystery in verse 25. This is called the gospel that Paul calls his gospel. Well, what about it? Men are established by that gospel. Well, what does establish mean? Well, as a farm boy from up in Alabama, I would say that to establish something means to found it, put a foundation, stabilize it. In other words, stabilize it by placing it upon a solid foundation. Why? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, I've always believed, since I learned the meaning of the word, that to edify was to build up, and that an edifice is a building. An edifice is something that has been edified. It is something that has been built up. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. You see, there wasn't any difference in the Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians as far as God was concerned. They were all on the same foundation. They all had been identified with Christ in his death, in his burial, his resurrection, and seated with him in heavenly places. The distinction between them was in that which they themselves believed in their own minds. Look back in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Quickened us together with Christ. Quickened us, right? When? With Christ? Well, when did he quicken Christ? When he raised him from the dead, verse 6, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, I'd say then that the Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians all were identified in his death, his burial, in his resurrection, and are all seated with him in heavenly places. But they were divided in their own minds. They did not all have the same mind pertaining to the church and so forth. And so God gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up and edifying of the body of Christ, till all the body, all the members, come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, then, if Jesus Christ is a man, and if Jesus Christ has a body, why should I not believe that the body, and the body is a man, of 1 Corinthians 12, notice, for as the body is one, and hath many members, a human body is one human body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many one body, so also is Christ. If Christ then had a human body, and he certainly did, and he had members in that human body, and he certainly did, why should I not believe then that God is building up a spiritual body that is likened unto the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that it spiritually has many members, and their spiritual offices are not all of the same power and strength and so forth as the physical members in the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, the reason that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. All right, then, we have an edifice, a body, that is to be stabilized, established by the preaching of the gospel, and that gospel is the gospel that is found in the Old Testament scriptures, and that gospel had been hidden there until revealed through the Apostle Paul, and men, no matter if they were at Ephesus or Corinth, were to be brought together in the unity of the faith by the preaching of that one gospel, and stabilized and established by that one gospel, so that they would not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine anymore. I'm saying unto you then that in Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, and so forth, we find the gospel that is preached for salvation, and that that gospel is the foundation for the church, which is the body of Christ, and that the Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossian letters have to do with the temple built upon that foundation. I'm glad that you listened today. I hope that you'll be with us next week again. Until then, good day.